This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio
Ignition,
covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Ignition. We are back. We are now back, all you podcast listeners. Welcome to the Ignition Show. I am Joe Costello. We got Giovanni in Miami just seconds away. Going to talk a little NASCAR, a little F1, a little NHRA drag racing, and whatever comes up, sports and the sports collision and all of that will be on this show that has been described as a stream of consciousness. Whose consciousness? That is the question, and we will get into all of it. Giovanni in Miami, let's bring him in, of course, from down there in the MIA. Giovanni, you know, often I reference, you know, joking to you about the funny stuff that I see you doing on the other side of our little webcam thing. This day, I will not do that to you. I'm not going to tell anybody the situation that you happen to be in, unless you want to get everybody up to speed. But please, let's hold it back. I just want to say welcome to you and then dive into the horrific news of the day that I found out. First, welcome and hello, and how are you?
Hello, 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 hello.
There he is, Giovanni in Miami. Yeah, no, but
how's it going, everybody? How's it going, WFO Universe? I'm sure and hoping everyone is doing much better than I am at the moment.
Well, everything's relative.
All things in the great scheme of things, you know, we're all healthy and fine. We're just, you know, going through a little discomfort in the smoldering swamp weather of South Florida.
Air conditioning.
With a broken air conditioning that I found out was broken when I got home from work.
Unbelievable.
And I called the AC guy and he said, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll be there tomorrow morning at 9. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
I'm like, you think that's
See, if you had air around the clock, today? If you had air around the clock, they would be out there now. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, he, you know, he kind of came on the assumption that he wouldn't be able to get the part that I'm going to need at the time, probably anyway. So he figured, you know, 9 o'clock, what are you going to do?
Listen, I get it. It's terrible. It's the nightmare. We were speaking with Jason Logan a couple of weeks ago on the Happy Hour show. He had an air conditioning issue. It is DEFCON 1 in South Florida. It is the worst thing, especially right now where it's been like 95 to 100 degrees. It feels particularly hot. I had a horrific moment where it shut down today. But mine, you know, came back. And when you got an air conditioner that's, you know, over 10 years old, you never know when it's going to go. And that's the deal. But that is all small stuff, even your discomfort and your hot and me too. All very, very small things right now, because we found out some just terrible news earlier today that Dominic Lagana, who is a friend. He is a racer. He is a great racer. He's a great person. He is a friend of me, of WFO Radio, of all drag racers, along with Richie Crampton and Jake Sanders, who people don't know Jake. Jake is a great guy, another friend, somebody from the racing arena that you see out there and is just a positive energy completely. And it's just a terrible, terrible situation, and we'll just put it out there at the start of the show. On the way from the track back to a shop, they were involved in a road accident while traveling southbound on County Road 10003, like 10003. They were in Richie's 57 Chevy wagon, and they veered off the road and struck a pole. This is the story from speedsport.com, but it's everywhere. Dom, 34 years old, Richie, 40, among those injured. I heard Jake was also there. And just a horrific situation. The car veered off the road, struck utility pole. Lagana, the driver of the car, suffered life-threatening injuries in the incident, according to the report from wishtv.com. Crampton and Sanders both suffered serious injuries that were deemed not life-threatening. Now, obviously, we're not going to go into medical conditions and any of that stuff, but a horrific moment for the drag racing and racing family. Dominic has been on this show, is as nice a person, as wonderful a person, as positive an energy that there is. And to find this out and, you know, follow up, do due diligence, start seeing the posts on social media, Steve Torrance posting via Twitter. We are asking everyone to please pray for my brother, Dom Lagana. He and two others were in an awful car accident last night, currently in critical condition. Please pray for healing as well as peace and comfort for our family. Absolutely. Richie scored 10 victories in NHRA's top fuel division, including winning the U.S. Nationals. And the Speed Sport story talks about, you know, the car a little bit more. It's owned by Richie Crampton. And that a version of that story is out everywhere. And it just, it's a terrible moment. It's a terrible thing. It's a lesson that you can go from the highest of highs. They had both won. Johnny Lindbergh wins top alcohol funny car with Richie helping out. And Richie was going to drive the car at the next NHRA national event on the tour, which is the Denso Spark Plugs U.S. Nationals in a few weeks. The Atlanta race has been canceled. Something that, whatever. It's a bummer, but anybody that's been tracking the news should have a pretty good indication. It's shocking to me, and you know, some aggression might come out here and there. It's shocking to me at how many people have still yet to understand the nature of the pandemic situation. They still wondering, like, why can't we go? Huh? They still don't know. And so the race in Atlanta has been canceled. The next race is going to be the Denso Spark Plugs U.S. Nationals, the big go in Indianapolis, Indiana. Richie was going to drive Johnny's alcohol funny car there. It's a big, like, thank you to Richie for helping out Johnny, etc. They're excited. Dom wins the race as part of Team Capco with Steve Torrance. They're excited. They're close to their home. They head home. They're down a straight little road. This is a road that Gio and I have been on quite a few times. Years back when we went to the U.S. Nationals with WFO, certainly I have been on it. It basically leads you right to the shops in Brownburg. Right there. It's a little two-lane road, houses on the left, houses on the right. Here's a cornfield, there's a pole, there's a ditch. There's a just a little two-lane road. They're in Richie's 57. Something happened, and now Dom is fighting for his life. And I would ask, you know, everyone says, you know, thoughts and prayers and, you know, who knows what every listener of WFO thinks is going to work. But whatever you think is going to work, please do it. Whatever your value structure, system, beliefs, or otherwise, if you got some positive energy to send Dominic's way, please send it. Because the guy, I can tell you from personal experience, is an A-plus character. He's such a positive person. Obviously a love for life, but will literally do whatever it takes to be helpful to his friends and people who aren't even really his friends. To be helpful, period. Was about to get married. There was a wedding on the horizon. It's just a nightmare. And the people that I have spoken with that are, you know, friends, like mutual friends, drag racers, everybody is busted up, very upset, very terrible scenario. And, you know, that's it. We're powerless. It's obviously there's it's not our business to talk about people's health and what they're going through. The information will come out as in good time. But right now, from what I gather, it's a critical moment. And Richie and Jake and their families and everybody. That's all I can say. That's all I want to say. I'm personally very upset. Like, we, you know, like nowadays in the world, everybody's upset about everything. There's real legitimate things to be upset about. But the world finds a way of letting you know your priorities and, like, what is so significant. And you just the order of significance. And this is this goes very close to the top. This is very, 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 very significant. And I think about their families. I think about Bobby. I think about Steve and Mama Kay and that whole team. Like, Dom is like one of the beating hearts of that team. And so many friends and so many people that care about him. And we just want him to be okay and as well as is possible right now. So, again, everybody, please do what you do in times like these. I would appreciate it. And thank you. Now, what do we do? WFO, do we not do the show? We're going to do the show. We're going to do what we always do. And we're going to move beyond and we're going to try to, you know, do a entertaining broadcast this week and try to have a little fun. And let's begin now. But Dom, you know, we're thinking about you, buddy. Pull through. Do what you got to do, and hopefully we'll see you back at the track as soon as is possible. And Gio,
get better, guys.
Yes,
is all I got to say. You know, I mean, I feel for you know, for you and your friends.
Yeah,
I hope they get better soon.
That's it. That's it. It's rocking the community, and you know, like to speculate and all that stuff. And I'm not, my head's not there. That's not anything that I want to think about. I want to think about, we had such a great race. Ron Capps, Angel, Jeg, everyone. So great. Such a great race. Steve, obviously. And how quick things can turn. Like, anyway, that's it. And your mic is so good. Like, every piece of paper that you touch, I hear everything. It's like the most amazing. So you can't do your taxes and your bills while also doing the show. It's, you could thank Steve Jobs with the Apple headphones. They have an incredible microphone. You have an incredible headphones. It's amazing. Like, what lightened up the moment? Giovanni wrestling around with papers and stuff. That's fine. Whatever it takes.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes.
Man, to make you feel better.
Thank you. We had a big weekend of racing. Kevin Harvick wins two races up there in Michigan. Back-to-back. Really dominant. 55th win of Harvick's career. Ties Rusty. And what we're witnessing is really one of the best seasons of NASCAR racing in a long time. I know there's a lot of people that they're like, oh, just angry about everything. And I would love to be able to, like, I think about governing and governance and, like, why don't the people in power just ask people to stop? You know what I mean? Like, hey, folks, let's, how about we have no crime today? Let's just, nobody commit a crime today. Something like that. Have they tried that? I don't think they have. But I wonder, can we just ask people to take the anger, the animosity, the dissatisfied nature of their lives and just put it on the back burner for a little while? Because of some stuff that happened in NASCAR that you may or just not agree. I'm not watching NASCAR. You're missing some great racing, man. This doubleheader, first of all, having a doubleheader was really great. Going back to back on the same track. And you got Harvick, like the strongest car, but there were others that were in the mix. The choose rule, good decision. Now, whatever it is, whatever the decision, if we ask 100 people, there's going to be a couple that hate whatever the decision is. Like, we've made a decision to give out a $100 bill to 100 different people, and you're all one of them. And there's going to be one or two of them that'd be like, this is a terrible idea. Where'd they come up with the money? Or, how come it's not $200? $200 would have been way better than $100. There's always that. There's always going to be that. The choose rule. Great, great decision. The new qualifying metric, I don't even care. Whatever. Like, it's something that I got to figure out in a formula, and there's an algorithm, and they're going to weigh all these different factors. Okay, fine. Just give me the list. I'll read the list. Joey Logano says it's fair. I'm not even going to tell you what it is because I already read it. It's incredibly confusing, and I don't even care. I can handle the point system. I'll handle that. Are they going to start the race?
I think they should have. You know what? For the sake of all fun, they should have just gone through either a complete draw, 1 through 36, not like the one that they were having of 1 through 10 and 11 through 20 and so forth.
No, invert the field.
And make it fun. And, yeah.
Invert the field from last week's finishing order. There it is. You want to qualify? You invert the field from last week's finishing order. How did they finish last week? This way. All right, they flip it. And that's it. And if you win last week, you start last this week and tough break. Be happy you won. Maybe I won't win. Did he give up the win just so he would, instead of finishing last, he would finish first? Whatever.
Huh?
Exactly. But the starting order is it relevant? Practically. We have seen this year they just needed to come up with a more fair way than random. And so they came up with an algorithm, and now they got an algorithm, and they're plugging in numbers, and there's a bunch of factors, and someone will start on the poll based on that factor, and we'll see how it works. The choose rule, excellent stuff. Excellent. And I'll get
it. I don't know if it's excellent.
It's excellent. It's excellent.
I think that jury's still out. I mean, like, really, has it? What impact does it really have on the overall race?
It adds entertainment and drama. It adds entertainment and drama. I watched the whole race, the Saturday Michigan race. I watched, you know, a large portion, I believe just about all of it. And I got to see the choose rule happen multiple times. And it adds a large element of drama, which is exactly what all of these sports need. Instead of coming to the caution flag and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, etc. And you've got guys that, oh, you know, I am fourth, but I don't want to start on the outside. So instead, I'm going to hit the brakes coming off pit road so I can start fifth on the inside and etc. And all that weird calculus that is not.
Well, that is definitely going to go out the window, that nonsense of stopping on pit road.
Nonsense. All of that is gone. Instead, it's like, hey, when you get to this point, you can go high and be there, or you can go low and be there. And it's up to you, whatever you want to do. And it all depends on what happens in front of you. You make a choice. And anytime you have to make a choice, it's dramatic. And so the best example I saw and recall from the two races in Michigan that I thought was great, you've got Chase Elliott. He's running fifth. And the high side is better. It's preferred. So the guy who's in first comes to the choice spot, and he chooses the high side because that's better. And the guy who's second gets to the spot, and he chooses the high side because it's better. And then you got the guy in third, and he comes there, and he chooses the high side, and it's because it's better. But now whoever chooses the low side is going to be starting on the front row. And so I think it was Chase who was in fifth position. You got four in a row all taking the high side. So some guy actually elected, and I forget who it was, elected to start fourth in a line as opposed to first in a line on the bottom. That's how negative they felt the bottom was. But that's their decision. Is it a bad decision? Yeah, it's a bad decision, but they made it, and that's what makes it dramatic. And so Chase says, I got a chance to go up and be on the front row. I'll try to deal with whatever negatives come from the bottom. And he chose the bottom, and it was a dramatic moment. Ooh, look at Chase. He's going all the way up to the front row. And he led the start, and he took the lead, and he led some laps, and then another caution came out, and the whole thing fell apart, and it didn't matter. But it was a dramatic moment when they come to that spot, and who goes high, and who goes low, and who doesn't go, and who runs over the thing because they can't decide. It adds this element of drama in what was a dead moment of the race. And so I think anytime you can do that in an entertainment industry, and everybody, the drivers all pretty much universally liked it, there doesn't appear to be any kind of downside to it, I call that a winner. Now, is it a traditionalist kind of thing? Well, it depends on who you are and what you do. If you're a Saturday night racer, little things like this happen at a Saturday night short tracks all around the country. Why? Because they're in small communities where there's limited capital, and they're desperate to create great entertainment for their audience to come out and spend their limited resources on. And so they come up with everything they can to make it entertaining instead of just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, et cetera, on back. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And I think it works.
Look, I give them credit for the whole thing. I guess I didn't consider as much as you did.
So, well, you know, I spent a lot of time on Saturday watching and thinking about it. And that's what happens when you immerse yourself. I've got a lot of thoughts on the Saturday race. The Sunday race, less so. Because when, you know, I watched the whole Saturday race, and Sunday I've got things to do. I got a job. I got hired, baby. I got hired. I was out, you know, as everybody knows, it's been tough times. That's why we're very happy with the Patreons, patreon.com/WFO radio. And everybody who responded to the face coverings, joe@WFOradio.com, for just $10, including shipping, we will send you one of these WFO radio face coverings that everybody loves. You just got to email joe@WFOradio.com with the word face coverings in the subject line. I will send you a $10 PayPal request to your, and I, by the way, this is already too much busy work, Gio. I got to figure out a better way. We got to put a link on the website with the PayPal thing or something, man. You know, and I'm not the best at that, but I'll sort it out. I'll figure it out. Because already I'm losing track of everybody who's emailing me.
Dude, you got to write them down.
I'm going to, but I got to write them down. Exactly. A bunch of busy work. Isn't there a way to figure out transactions without doing any busy work? Nope. I'm already going to be filling out envelopes. I don't mind doing it to get everybody this great mask, face covering, etc. But on Sunday, I got gig. I'm doing part-time work as a tree cutter and an arborist, really, not just a landscape tree guy. But I got a gig as an arborist, and I went to a house. This nice husband-wife couple had a backyard that was out of control, and I have this tool, and I bought, I arborized their backyard.
And arborist. Even a word? What kind of?
Well, if you're an arborist,
special needs child word is that? Dude?
If you're an arborist,
arborized.
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Well, when you do your arborist thing to stuff, doesn't it become arborization? Arborizing. Listen, we all make up words here. I think I should get credit. That's a good one. Not a bad one.
You know, you talk for a living. You're
that's a good one.
The worst,
but we all make exactly. And so you should trust me when I say
no,
arborized. No. That means I did my tree cutting thing
dude,
to the person's backyard.
Little,
arborized. It's like arbor. I'm an arborist, meaning I work with trees. I'm a tree cutter. I cut the trees. You know, those guys that go around in the truck with a pickup truck with a chainsaw, they're not arborists. I'm an arborist. I'm arborizing things. Now, the couple was Giovanni and the missus, and actually I didn't get paid. And I didn't get paid. No.
You're cutting trees.
See, there's a big difference. Trim the tree.
Of little pieces of tree off of a big piece of tree.
Yes, but there are.
You're not creating art. You're not putting it up on
a wall. That's not true. There's a difference between a cook and a chef. They're both messing with food, man. They're both doing stuff with food. Both
yeah,
preparing
but this is
food,
just cutting trees
cook and a chef. I was
no
arborizing.
One's eating the tree.
I arborized your trees, and they're beautiful, by the way. They're beautiful. Are you kidding? I took great care. We cut them in the right place. That's the thing. The arborist knows how to cut and where to cut and what to do. The tree cutter just hacks it. There's a difference. There's your, you know, your barber and hairstylist, and then there's a guy who just cuts your hair. I can cut your hair, but I don't know what I'm doing. Those tree cutter guys, who knows what the heck they know? The arborist knows. Now, we're going a long time on this arborist thing.
Yeah, I think, you know. You
a little too long.
Behind.
Well, you dragged it out a little bit. But it was your tree. And so while we were cutting the tree, some of the race was going on. But in the end, it didn't really matter because Kevin Harvick won them both. And congratulations to Harvick. We're going to talk about the significance of him and his career. But first, let's hear about the significance of Michigan winning at Michigan. And it's the first time since 1971. And the King, Richard Petty, won on back-to-back days at the same track. Right? Right. Here's Harvick on Michigan.
You know, Michigan is just a overall an important race for, you know, everybody at Ford and Roush Yates and really all the teams. They make you well aware of the importance of the Heritage Trophy and how much they want to keep it in their lobby. So, you know, I got a nice text from Edsel Ford last night to make sure that he knew that that I knew how happy he was, but he made sure that I was well aware that they didn't want to keep it for one day and they wanted to bring that trophy back. So we're just really happy for everybody at Ford. Our Busch Light Apple Ford Mustang was really fast again today. I had a little bit of trouble there at the end and in three and four, and Denny was really, really good down there. So we were able to do a little defensive driving and keep him back there and make it to victory lane again.
And there it is. Kevin Harvick picking up the win. Here's the rest of the results. Forgive me, folks, but I'm going to give you the results of day two. And day one, if you want to go back and look at the results, you can look at those. But
well, Harvick won.
Harvick won. Denny Hamlin second. Martin Truex Jr. third. Kyle Busch fourth. Joey Logano fifth. Eric Almirola sixth. Matty D seventh. Austin Dillon eighth. Chase Elliott ninth. Kurt Busch 10th. Jimmy Johnson 11th. William Lord Byron 12th. Ryan Newman 13th. Clint Boyer 14th. Matt Kenseth 15th. Ryan Preece 16th. 17th. Christopher Bell, who is moving into Eric Jones' ride. Eric Jones is out of a ride. And Levine Racing is selling. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Ty Dillon, 18th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 19th. Chris Buescher, 20th. Bubba Wallace, 21st. 22nd, Corey LaJoie. Followed by 23rd, John Hunter Nemechek. 24th, Tyler Reddick. 25th, Cole Custer. And then everybody else. Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Michael McDowell, J.J. Yaley, Brennan Poole, Reed Sorensen, Quinn Hoff, Josh Balicki, Garrett Smithley, Timmy Hill, Alex Bowman, the showman, James Davison, Ryan Blaney, and Brad Keselowski. And Brad those K. are the final results.
Oh, man. Brad K. wrecked Ryan Blaney and wrecked my fantasy team.
Oh, yes.
I mean, obviously not on purpose. They were, you know, he just got loose inside.
And that's it. And we saw that happen a couple of times in different stuff. We saw Harvick take out Kyle Busch. Push him back in the Saturday race. Just different stuff happening. They're going, you know, very fast.
I don't know that Harvick took him out. I think he just took the air off of the bottom of his car there. I don't think he actually hit him. They were showing the cars up close, and neither one of them looked like it had a scratch on them. And I got to say, I don't think it looked like he actually hit him.
I was very proud of Kyle Busch in that moment.
I was, yeah, you know what you got to give him to. I know in post-race, too, he was like, look, I don't know if he hit me or he didn't, but obviously I didn't just drive into the wall.
Oh, the fantasy results. That's right. The fantasy results. Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into the fan. Patrick the Webmaster doubled up. They're all on the website. Hopefully everybody's been going to the WFO Radio website, by the way. We encourage that because we want subscribers. Does everybody that listens to this show know that we need you to go to the website and check out the sponsors and check out all the cool stuff there? Do you guys know and understand that? Right? We're not CBS here, brother. We need you to go to the website and subscribe on all the different cool ways to subscribe and check out all the different stuff. Like the folks at CIP1, which they've been in business for 41 years. And samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Do you have the drive? Accelerate your career at Samtech. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. It's a game-changing breakthrough in piston ring design, the new gas-ported top rings. Check them out. And, of course, Marvin Rodak, Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, the hot sauces and spice rubs, everything good. Our great friend, Steve Brenwald, and the people at EV3 Drag Racing still supporting WFO Radio. And even if you want to go to, like, MLBShop.com or whatever Google ad we got on there, click it, man. Click it. All right. I think they might have taken the arborism thing a little too seriously, Gio, just to complete. But here are...
Yeah, well, I understand. You're a tree expert.
Here are the weekly results. I got a tree in the background right here, man. I got a Christmas tree. Here are the results after the second of the two Michigan races. We're not going to give the previous results. If you won the week, sorry. Well, I guess I'll look for it. Gosh, what? I'm such a softy.
Yeah, no, that's kind of harsh, man.
I'm such a softy, man, of course. Anybody else would have gone through. And then I thought, you know what, man? It's wrong of me to not give that person's win. So I'm going to give the top 10 and the vitals, but we're only going to give the overall standings after the second race. So Michigan race one, Motorhead 55 with 352 points, beats out by 2 points Stubo, the Super Gas crew chief. Stubo, what's up? Los Gingones third, tied with Low Blinker Fluid with 340. Patrick the Webmaster 338. Fleetree 6th, 322. What's up, Fleetree? Willie B Racing 314, 7th. Moonchild 312, 8th. Race Guitar 310 and 9th. Aviator Racing tied with Keen Racing and Spider Monkey Racing rounding out the top 10. The most points of the week, 352. That goes to Motorhead 55. The biggest gainer, Lowe's Chincones, up 13 positions. Way to go, Low. Good job. The biggest loser, Steve the Trucker. I could see her Almirolas. Down 9 positions with only 211 points. Pathetic. And Bulls Wool down 9 as well. 214. The leader after that race was Motorhead 55, ahead of Hockey Kid by 14 points. So I guess Motorhead 55 has taken the lead. Woo-woo! That's the noise you get, Motorhead 55. That's the best I got right now. Racing 5032, rounding out the top three after Michigan race one, which is race 21 on the season. Can you believe we're at race 22 of the season? NASCAR has soldiered through during the pandemic, doing a great job. The weekly winner after race two at Michigan is Sith Racing. You will now witness the full power of this battle station. Sith Racing, 328. Rich and Saugus, who also loves Star Wars, 317. Second, Aviator Racing, third, 313. Is Rich and Saugus still out there listening every week, Gio, do you think?
See.
I don't know, man. If I was Rich and Saugus, I'd have gotten bored by us by now. I would have been bored with us.
No, I think he does. I hear him. I see him online, and he makes comments.
He's like 3 weeks behind, like, though. He'll hear about this in...
he is a little behind sometimes, but yeah.
October, he'll be hearing this one. 370. Good job, Rich. Aviator Racing, third, 313. Way to go, Aviator. Bug Barn, fourth. Bobby, who is retired now. Congratulations on your retirement, Bobby's Bug Barn. Bobby is one of our Patreons. Bobby, thank you very much. 310. Bulls Wool, fifth, 304. A good bounce back for Bulls Wool after being one of the biggest losers. And Steve the Trucker, too. I can see Aram Arolas. I'm guessing both of those guys forgot to set their teams, and one it was terrible and one it was great. That's why they're together. Team English, 295, seventh. Way to go, Mike English. Youper 1, eighth, 285. Race Guitar, 283, ninth. Keen Racing, 282, tied with Smothered and Covered, who is a past champion. The most points, 328, is also the biggest gainer. Sith Racing. How many positions up? Well, no, that isn't right. How can Sith Racing be the biggest gainer if he gained only one position? I'm not questioning Patrick, man. Whatever. And the biggest loser, Day Racing.
There's
21.
A typo somewhere, dude. Don't worry about
yes,
it.
Yes, there's a typo. Down 18 positions. This is the number that matters, though. Overall leader, 22 races in. Motorhead 55 holds the lead by 37 over Hockey Kid. This is Hockey Kid's chance to get on this trophy he's been hearing about for more than half of his life. 37
Absolutely.
Points out. Bobby's Bug Barn, 69 points
Dude,
out.
But the Bug Barn could take retirement now that he's got extra time on his hands to map out the strategy a la multiple-time champion Dirty Hippie.
And you know what? I got this thing that I'm going to do, that I'm going to announce right now after we give these results, because it's a perfect thing. Royal Flush Racing, fourth. 104 back. Elephant Racers, 5th, 133 back. Beer Eater Racing, 81, 6th, 159 back. Team 12, 7th, 161 back. Racing 5032, 8th, 179 back. Keen Racing, 185 back, and 9th at Patrick the Webmaster. Hanging tough, 219 back. Then Gareth, Smothered and Covered, Bad Brad, Youper 1, and Chicken Pit Special, rounding out the top 15. Giovanni in Miami up two positions to 18th. Way to go, Gio. 340
well, all right.
Out.
Very unexpected. I didn't expect to do well after Brad K ruined my team.
Mr. Fantasy NASCAR is 20th, 362.
Wow, he's right back in it, huh?
Not 360. Yeah, 362 back. 362 back. He's almost 400 out. But the way he came storming up last year.
Yeah, but there's 14 races left. That's like 20 points a week for him. 30 yeah. points a week. He'll be in the lead.
Has everyone figured out that the only way to win is to start from the last race and map out your guys from the first race of the season? If you're stumbling down the stretch with just the best of whatever you have left, you're probably going to lose. The only way to win, not the only way to win, but the most likely way to win is to start from the end and work backwards. And that's so true in so many things. Rich Saugus, 21st. Barbecue Bob, Dirty Hippies, 23rd. Stubo, 24th. Way to go, Stubo. Climbing up there. 24, Car 24 Fan, 25th. Low, 26th. Sith Racing, 28th.
I can see him. He's up 13 spots.
Sith Racing is
not one, remember?
Yes. He's 27th. Alcancira Almirolas is 28th. EZE009 is 29th.
They're actually tied for 27th and 28th.
Oh, well, those numbers are all.
Is what it is. They both have 59.08.
And I guess Pat has to go in there and change numbers.
Yeah.
Patrick the Webmaster is like a saint, man. He's like a saint going in there doing all these numbers.
What kind of saint? Like a Cuban saint or like
yes,
a Catholic saint?
Cuban saint. Saint, but not really.
Right, right.
EZ 009, 29th. El Jefe, 30th. And now I'm just giving the numbers that are off the top of my head. 35th, Young Money, Spider Monkey Racing. No, that's 33rd. Young Money, Kyle Larson, Northwest Nitro Fanatics, 35th. Yeah, I'm struggling now. Cervix Splitter, 40th, just behind Fleetree and just ahead of Sacramento Racing Fan. Driving Hard, 45th, just behind Aviator and Southern Racer X. Wait a second. I thought Aviator was up near the front. I don't know. Now I'm lost. 49th, WFO Joe. That's what matters. Just behind Team English and just ahead of Rusty Racing. And behind Hockey Dad.
I want to know who the Cervix Splitter is.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a creative name. Team Gray, 54th. Hear that, Gray? 54th. 908 points out of the lead. 60th, Heavy Loner. And I think Heavy Loner has already quit. And everybody else on down has already quit. And there it is, your Fantasy League results on the fantasy, toughest fantasy championship in the world. So I have been, as everybody knows, putting up for things, things for sale on OfferUp and Let Go, these interesting mobile applications, as I have attempted to downsize my life and just constantly acquiring all kinds of things and garbage and stuff that's good, Kifa, and just trying to get rid of it and get rid of it. So
In last week's episode, you sold my box of Wheaties that was like 50 years old with Ken Griffey Jr., kid on the cover, the blue box of Wheaties.
A great victory. And I've sold some other things since then, but more just flirtations with people. And it is very weird as this pandemic and middle age merge together to formulate a weird life experience for me, right? For instance, let me give you an example. I'm 47 years old. I live alone. And there's a pandemic out there. I'm also a mini hypochondriac / germaphobe. So that gives you a sensation of where my mind is at. I don't want to get this thing. So there is somebody out there in the world that they're on Tinder. And they're swiping around looking at Tinder, and they're swiping left and they're swiping right. And maybe if they swipe right, they go meet somebody and they hook up, right? What is Joe doing? I'm on my app too, except I'm on OfferUp and I'm selling garbage to people and I'm hooking up with people. Hey, can I buy the box of Wheaties? Yeah, you could buy the box of Wheaties. And I'm formalizing these relationships with people that I don't know who they are and what they're like. And so, hey, can I buy the outdoor table and the junk microscope you're selling? It's like, yeah, you could buy the microscope. It'll be great. How much you want? Yeah, and we're doing it. I'm tweeting back and forth. Meanwhile, Tinder person, they're getting laid, man. They're doing stuff, but they're also risking their health, and they're in a bad spot. And instead, me, I've got a nice safe outcome. I'm on OfferUp. And so, hey, do you want to meet up? Yeah, let's meet up. Let's meet up where? Where do you want to meet? Let's meet at this place. Okay, we'll meet at the place. Okay, what time are you going to meet at the place? We're going to meet at the place at this time. Okay, are you ready to meet at the place? Hello? Hello?
So let me get this straight.
Hello?
You've reached the Fred Sanford stage of the pandemic.
Hello? And then the person doesn't get back with you. And now you've literally been stood up on an OfferUp date. You're not even going to sell this stuff. The person just ghosts you. They're gone. Where are they? They're gone. No contact, no show, nothing. They just didn't show up. So now I'm not going to sell this stuff. I had plans. We had plans. We were going to meet up at Las Vegas Cuban restaurant, and I was going to sell my outdoor table and my junk microscope that my parents got me when I was a kid for $20, which you could buy the whole thing for $34. I don't know why you'd want the junky one for $20, but he does. He's going to meet up with me and just ghosts me out of nowhere. What a jerk. Stand me up like that on my OfferUp date. This is terrible. What an idiot. And then I'm thinking, you know, was it something I did? Is it me? Was my OfferUp etiquette improper? Did I pressure too much? Was I requesting too much information? When are you going to be there? Are you going to be there?
Oh, you're being bossy and pushy on OfferUp text.
I was asking for what I deem vital information. Are we doing this?
You still there? To see, yeah, maybe this person thought you were a little psychotic.
And so, yeah, it fell through. Another one. The mirror. $40. This girl, she wants a mirror. She's got to come up from Homestead. She's coming up for Homestead for a $30 wooden mirror. Here she comes, right? She's coming. Can I come up there? Can I come up there at 3? Yes. Yes. My answer, and I'm learning, like, less communication is better. Less. Yes. No. Okay. Yes. So, all right, 3 o'clock. Okay. So, hello? Never heard from the person again. Just totally ghosted me. My experience on OfferUp and LetGo has informed my understanding of the average American a lot. We're in trouble, folks. Courtesy, respect, general understanding, treat others the way you'd love to be treated yourself. Like, that's all gone. It doesn't exist on these apps. You're interacting with a person. Hey, Gio, can I buy that hat off your head for $2? Yes, Joe, you can buy the hat off my head for $2. Oh, that'd be great. When can I get it? Okay, you can come get it on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Never text you again and just disappear and never see you again. That's it. What is that? Are there people on there just getting people like me excited? This guy thinks he's going to sell his garbage to me. What a jerk. I'm never going to call him again. It's horrible.
Maybe that's it. Watch me get this guy and think that somebody wants his garbage.
Yeah.
What a sucker.
I know. They're giving me green balls. I think I'm going to get some money, and then I get nothing. Terrible. Well, anyway, so that's what has been happening the past couple of days in the whole offer up thing. And as I try
So is that what you've been doing,
yeah.
Huh?
And as I try to downsize... Got the big poker table, the poker table. When you, oh, okay, yes, wants to buy the poker table. Big score. I got this poker table. If you listened to the show ages ago, I think we talked about the poker table with the poker guys when we were doing poker dealer lessons here in Costello Media. Remember that?
I do, yes.
That was discussed on the show, wasn't it?
Absolutely was.
Poker Action Line?
I mean, it may or may not have, but we definitely made references.
New listeners, that's why you got to be with us like a long time with like Rich and Saugus, because we've got all these old stories and they keep coming back. So finally, I've decided...
yeah, like boomerangs.
I've decided to get rid of the poker table. I just got to get rid of it, man. I don't play poker. It's huge. So I put it up on OfferUp, $550. A guy has offered me $400. To me, it's a win. Get rid of the table, get $400. We have been going back and forth now for 6 days. What time? 4 o'clock. Okay, 4 o'clock it is. 4 o'clock comes and goes. Nothing. Oh, I couldn't get my friend to help me. Okay, no problem. It is an exercise in patience. Patience, dealing with everything. Put me in the middle of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict right now. I'll negotiate it out because I am like at wit's end. I'm ready to, yes, of course, of course. I want to get rid of the poker table. Would you like me to deliver the freaking poker table to you, man? I'm 15 floors up. Oh, I understand. I'm just willing to work with these people. So, yeah. He can't get somebody to do it either. So, as I eliminate stuff.
So, in theory, this person does want it, but it's just a logistics situation.
Well, yeah, absolutely. He can't get a friend and a truck. To get a big, long, very heavy poker table up 15 flights or 15 floors.
I got to tell you, I'm not moving a table up 15 flights.
Right. Right. And so I asked him, I was like, you know, what would it be worth to you if I delivered it? And so he said $60. And I'm thinking like, okay, is it worth delivering it to get the extra 60 and the money for the poker table? And maybe it is, because he's not that far away. Because he's not going to do it. You want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And so, maybe I'm going into the moving business now. Maybe this is the service that is required, how I'm going to become a millionaire. I'm going to go around delivering people's stupid offer-up stuff. I'll pick it up from this guy, and I'll go drop it off to this guy.
As a middleman,
I'll be a middleman for products
life.
For products that cost $6. Okay, I'll take my cut now. Thanks for the 37 cents. So I have all these trophies that I've won. Trophies that I won. I was a victor. It was a victory by me, and I won a trophy. And
to the victor go the spoils.
And I'm talking about like my track champion trophies. I'm talking about Wednesday night, Thursday night, Miami Hollywood Speedway Park, practice night, they had a trophy category, and if you entered the trophy category, you got a trophy. These are trophies that I won in 1990, 1991, 1992. And they're like two post trophies with like an angel on the top holding like a victory thing, and they're cute, and I like the fact that they got the Miami Hollywood Speedway placard on them, whatever. But man, I got a bunch of these frickin' things. And what do I do with it? What do you do with that? What do you do with a trophy? You throw it in the garbage? Remember this great victory I had? Garbage. Throw it in there. No. But I don't think people want to buy my trophies either. Like, do you want to buy? So here's what I thought of doing. This is an idea. I'm just going
to
float it
for these two to see if it's similar to my thought.
Okay.
So you go ahead.
I'll tell you my idea. My idea is I'm going to pull the placards off that I like, and I'm going to get a new placard made that says Fantasy League Champion X year, and we'll send them to all of our fantasy champions. And so that they can have a trophy that is the champion trophy. I know Lowe had the belt. But did Lowe send the belt to Mr. Fantasy NASCAR? You know, I don't know. Did he?
Mr. Fantasy NASCAR might have kept it if he might keep it. You know, is he going to know to send it to the next?
Well, it's the honor system,
right? But it's also easy for Lowe to just put the belt in a UPS truck and send it.
Maybe Lowe did send it. For all we know. But that's one thing.
We don't know, but we could ask.
But then you have to send it to the next person, and that's part of the honor system, which somehow I believe that we still have. And it's all being crushed.
I don't know what
it's all being crushed by being on Offer Up and Let Go for more than a couple weeks and realizing that people don't even realize they're supposed to call you back. I'm not going to make it. I am not going to make it. I do not want your product. Remember that thing that I was buying from you? I do not want it anymore. Good day, sir. No, too busy.
Or I do want it. I just don't have time to deal with your crap nonsense right
now. What was your idea for the trophy?
No, never mind. Yours is much better.
I want to hear what your idea was anyway.
I thought maybe you should get in touch with like a trophy store and they might want to give it to you a couple bucks for they could reuse them and stuff like that.
Ah, that's a good secondary idea. That's good. Like maybe we only have X amount of champions. So I'm going to have some trophies left over. I want a lot of trophies, man. I got trophies everywhere. You know, I joke about having been a good racer, but you know, I want a lot of trophies. Maybe I stunk, but I got lucky a lot then. So anyway, there you go. And all you people out there laughing at me because of my offer up stuff, go through your house, pick some piece of garbage and try to sell it on there, and someone will want to give you money. No doubt. Oh, there's Mrs. Giovanni in the background. Can hear her very clearly.
For real?
Yeah. Those Apple things, man, are amazing.
She's like two rooms away, by the way, and a hallway. Yeah, I mean, obviously not like I live in some kind of giant palatial estate, but.
Yeah, get on the intercom. Formula One.
I did shut the door that where I was, but I guess I hadn't realized, you know, I was trying not to make it a sauna in this room.
Aren't we trying to give the illusion of a big media company? Formula One, Lewis Hamilton wins.
Yeah, but we're in a pandemic right now.
A week
like
ago.
Like everybody's broadcasting from home.
It's the lockdown. It's the kid, right? The
it's lockdown. Not a lockdown.
You stay
anymore.
Inside. Listen, it's the pandemic. Okay.
That's right. That's the term. The pandemic.
But
stop
I like that kid.
Lockdown.
But I like the kid.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That foul mouth.
The foul mouth little fool. Kid.
Yeah, nah. I didn't
to me,
that's
he's
funny.
The voice of the
for
pandemic.
Real, I didn't find that one that amusing. I think I saw that one.
I loved it. I love it. I loved it. You just don't like a little kid using such vulgarisms and profanity.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, I don't think it was that. I don't know.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. This kid.
This weekend, it's going to be so nice.
I mean,
like
he's not
60,
my kid.
65,
care.
Like that. We could sit outside on the porch.
No, the lockdown. A lockdown is when you say the fucking sign, right. Not the fuck out.
All right, stop. How come I press pause and it doesn't pause?
Oh,
beep.
You see the,
all you parents out there, I'm sorry. Here. I'm sorry. Like, please excuse the language. It was an accident. I was trying to pause it right before he said it, the F, but it went out there. Ah, terrible. Anyway, let's do Formula One. Max Verstappen wins the race. And it was kind of interesting. Giovanni, get us up to speed on Formula One this week. I saw Verstappen take the checkered And Ferrari, just an abomination, what's happening with Ferrari. And whatever, this year is
it's
a write-off.
It's just depressing. It's a total fail. Seb spins himself out on the first corner and, you know, spends the rest of the race trying to get back to where he started in 12. And I don't know if it's a situation where since he's leaving or who knows what's going on, but they need to have a sit down and figure it out, because there's no way that he's the 12th best car out there. But all things considered, Charles Leclerc would qualify like 7th, I think. So they're clearly not fast. Charles ended up 4th on a strategy, one pit strategy. And, you know, Mad Max, he's a young beast. When Mercedes was having tire issues, they were blistering up all the tires. And Mad Max, when he was approaching early on in the race, he went to go make a move. I guess it was on Lewis to pass him. And the team radio tells him to back off that and save the tires. And he said, no. He said, now is the time. He goes, the tires are fine. He goes, we may not have this chance again. And he just made a move there. And no, it would have turned out fine, because Mercedes had serious tire issues. And
after what they did to him a week ago, where they pulled him in and he took tires and then Lewis cuts a tire and he would have won the race, I can understand him being a little bit cautious about what they're telling him to do.
Yeah. But this kid has definitely got the skills, man.
Wow, what do you mean? He's already won, what, 10 Grand Prix or
9,
something?
9, 10, something like that, yeah.
Max Verstappen wins the race. Lewis Hamilton has to settle for second. Bum, bum. And his streak of wins comes to a close in Silverstone. But it wasn't his streak of wins in the British Grand Prix continues. And also, he sets the record for podiums. Or ties the record for podiums. But
ties,
anyway,
I think ties it.
Yeah, Lewis, amazing. Lewis Hamilton, amazing. Valtteri Bottas, third. Leclerc, fourth. Alex Albon, fifth. Lance Stroll, sixth. Nico Hülkenberg, who was a late addition when the, what was the COVID situation, knocked out, was it?
Well, he ran the last 2 weeks now. Yeah. So for October. Not for October, for Perez.
But isn't that cool? That's Hülkenberg is obviously a pretty good driver.
Yes.
Doesn't have a ride, but now, you know, he can jump in there top 10. And the whole Racing Point Mercedes is embroiled in controversy. Lance Stroll, I guess his dad, Lawrence Stroll, who is part owner of the team.
Sir Lawrence.
Yes, right. Exactly. Think about the kind of wealth. like, God love you if you got that kind of wealth. But people that don't even understand what wealth is. Like, yeah, you know, I'm an individual. I'm going to buy a Formula One team. Compete against Ford, no. Esteban Ocon, 8th. Lando Norris, 9th. And Danny Kvyat, 10th. Pierre Gasly, Sebastian Vettel outside the points. Carlos Sainz, Daniel Ricciardo. Wait, where are our Haas F1 guys? Roman Grosjean, 16th. And K-Mag. K-Mag having a tough go of it, man. Got to finish some races here. Starting to feel a little uncomfortable about the direction of the team right now. Starting to feel a little uncomfortable. Still love our guys, but... still feeling a little
uncomfortable. Yeah, but we also know that if they don't, well, I guess let's see. I'm hoping that they stick around long enough for the new rules and see if next year, is that next year or the one after? Either way.
Yeah. And there you have it. Formula One.
Yeah, no, Haas not doing running very well right now, but.
So a couple other notes I want to throw out there before we move on to Sports Collision. And we're not going to go forever tonight because honestly, it is. You know, we got NHRA tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Alan Reinhart going to talk about the race, but the situation that I mentioned at the very start of the show is dominating my mind. It's going to be very tough. On Wednesday, we got Ron Capps and Angel, and that's where the broadcasts cease for this week. Wednesday is the end of the WFO week this week, everybody. So those are the breaks. Got something going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday here in sunny South Florida that I have to handle and take care of. So I will be doing that. But then we'll be back normal next week. I did want to mention a couple of things, some copious notes that I took on the Saturday Cup race. Just some points of discussion I want to rapid fire out there. Feel free to chime in. One, I never do this. I never do this. And I want to do it just to know that it happens. I thought Kyle Busch handled himself very well after Kevin Harvick duffed him. And These past two races, like his media hits, he's been a very different person. I wonder, has something happened in Kyle Busch's life? Something has occurred to give him some renewed perspective or something, because of the way he's talking, they're obviously running, you know, not great, but he's acting like a champion to me, and he's acting like a good representative of the sport. It's almost as if he realizes that he can win the championship. That's a championship caliber team. Things are just not going their way. They're not having breaks, but they've been fast. They've been up front. You saw him in the race. He's extremely talented. The cars are fast. He's super talented. You can't win every race. Things aren't always going to go your way. It's math. It's math. Why get angry at the math that sometimes things aren't going to go your way? And the way he handled his post-race interview, no blame, no anger, just matter of fact, this is what we're not running real good right now, but I liked it. I thought what Kyle Busch, and I think it was some of the best stuff and some of the most positive feelings I had about Kyle Busch. That could all go out the window this weekend, but I wanted to mention it. Brad Kay, so good for the sport. What we're seeing right now here.
Yeah, maybe he's maturing. You know, he is getting old.
Well, right. Like, they say that you don't become a real adult until you're like 28. That's when you're fully matured.
Like, I think Kyle Busch is like 30-something.
Well, maybe it took him a little longer. Or maybe maybe the kid said something. Like, you just don't know. Like, wow, man. Oh, perspective. You get it from a lot of different places. But he's just been acting different. And I want to note it, because I always note when he acts
he's
bad.
He's 35, for the record.
He's so finally mature.
Spring chicken anymore. Hey, you know what? He's got a kid or two now, or just one for sure. But that'll, you know, I got to tell you, that'll put some perspective in you real quick.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt. The sport in general. You've got Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, a clash of these modern era greats. Harvick has got a title. Denny Hamlin doesn't. But they're both greats. And both having won, what, six races now?
Five for Hamlin.
Five for Hamlin, six for Harvick. And Brad Kay with three. Mm-hmm. This is a manageable, understandable story. We're in for a great battle. Like, you know, Kyle Busch is going to be in the mix, and you've got Chase Elliott's going to be in the mix, and you got some other guys in the mix. But clearly, the best teams right now are Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski. Those are the guys that are going to be like in the mix for the championship. And that's what you want. It's easily consumable. It's just like football, where you got, you know, the Patriots over here and you got the Eagles over there. And then you've got some secondary players. It sets up really nice. And love it. The secondary stories. Bubba Wallace gets a nice top 10 finish on Saturday. And after the race, drops that they've got a huge deal in the works, and that anything at any moment, it's silly season, it could happen. You could see he was so excited and enthusiastic. Got me excited for what the deal might be. What's the deal? Is it stay with the king? Is it ownership? Is, you know, Nike and the Swish going to come on and be the primary sponsor? But, like, who knows? But Bubba did a good thing there. Maybe it was bad for him personally, because maybe they're, oh, you let loose the fact that there's going to be a deal. Now we reduce the deal by 30%. Like, who knows what happens? But it was very intriguing. There's that. And then finally, I watched the Dale Jr. download after the race. And I don't always watch the Dale Jr. download, because I like Dale Jr. and I like the shows, but I just don't have a lot of time to be watching all kinds of other shows when I'm making all kinds of shows. Simple as that. But I watched the one with Rodney Childers, and OMG, Rodney Childers, and Mike Davis, who I used to know. Mike Davis, a real nice guy, and Dale Jr. when Dale Jr. was doing Unrestricted on XM Satellite Radio. And that's basically the continuation of that show, is all it is. XM did the deal, and Dale Jr. enjoyed it and then just picked it up, and now they continue to do it. Dale Jr. download. You know, I've never asked for Dale Jr. to come on this show. I'm I don't know. They'll probably say no, so I don't do it. But anyway, they're interviewing Rodney Childers, and his personal story was blowing my mind. And the only thing that made it great was it was blowing their mind as well. And so I'm going to give you the one thing that stood out. Rodney, of course, Kevin Harvick's really. This is why Harvick has probably got it going on. This guy is a special kind of person. Gumpish, if you will. You know, like a little Forrest Gump going on. Like not quite.
Savant-like.
Not quite the full Gump, but a little bit of Gumpish. You know those people that are like right close to the line? Like, are they a genius? Or are they? They're definitely special. Rodney Childers is very special. And so here's the story.
I'm sure everyone would agree.
Well, when you watch the interview, it's incredible. It's incredible. And then you get it. You feel like, all right. So Rodney Childers is 10 years old, and his dad is a very busy car sales guy. And if you know anything about car sales, just ask Rich York of the Dirty Hippies. You got to be on the lot. That's where the car sales happen. You can't be at home and sell cars. You got to be on the lot. So you want to sell cars and make money, you got to be on the lot. What does that mean? You're not going to see your family, and you're not going to be there, and you're not going to be there for your kids. You're going to be on the lot. You're going to make the money, and you're going to give it to your wife, and the wife and the kids are going to go do stuff. And that's what Rodney Childers did. His mom brought him to all his go-kart races. His neighbor got a go-kart. He saw the go-kart. He wanted a go-kart. His mom got him the go-kart. She sold a quilt, bought the go-kart, and his mom brought him to go-kart races for the beginning of his go-karting career. And then some of the men that could do it full-time saw the kid was good and, like, adopted him, and his mom didn't have to go to the go-kart track all the time. But his dad was still the breadwinner. Anyway, at 10 years old, the kid liked to go to the lake and play with wave runners. You know what I mean? Like a wave runner, like a jet ski, like a wave runner. Everybody knows that, right? So the dad didn't want to go because the dad had to be on the lot. So at 10 years old, the dad let the kid drive the truck with the wave runners on a trailer on the back with his friend at 10 years old to the lake, unload the wave runners, I guess at a boat ramp. So a 10-year-old kid backing up a trailer with wave runners on it and a truck into a boat ramp at 10 years old, putting it in park, getting out, getting on the wave runner, pulling down into the water, then docking it, going back, running, parking the truck, if that's how they do it, which that's how you do a real boat, going out at 10 years old, running around the lake all day long on wave runners, unsupervised.
I got to tell you, I don't know if I believe that
it was a big
age. I think he might be misremembering the age. Because at 10, does a 10-year-old even reach the pedals in a truck? Because my son couldn't drive my truck. I mean, how far forward would he have to put the seat? You know,
it's,
I mean,
definitely,
like, it sounds like they might need, you know, like
help. It's definitely worthy of asking more questions.
With the reaching the pedals is the real thing.
Right. Like maybe he remembered he was 13. He said 10, man. He said 10.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying that
12,
you're wrong here.
Big difference.
Maybe he's misremembering. The 10 years old seems, you know, I have a 9-year-old and he's pretty big. Compared to the other kids in his class and that. And I don't think he could drive my truck.
At this point, Dale Jr. felt a little uncomfortable because it's like, my parents were bad. Like, I had bad parents, everybody. My parents did not make sure I didn't die. I was doing stuff I should have definitely not been doing. And my parents were very irresponsible with me, letting me be on a lake by myself all day long
with my friend at 10 years old.
So Dale Jr. goes, it was a different time. It was a different time, man. It was a different time. You could hear the discomfort in what he was hearing, like bubbling out. Like, come on, a 10-year-old. But yeah, and the kid at the end of the day would load up the wave runners and drive it back home at 10 years old. And this guy is, you know, the highest level crew chief out there right now. And it makes you wonder. Like, maybe.
Well, he made it.
He made it. But if he could do all that at 10, then you understand why. And, yeah, that's it. And the whole Chris Bell, Eric Jones thing, you know, part of business. Levine Racing, pandemic, problems, economy. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that's going to happen here, people. Like, if you really think that nothing is just going to change and things are just going to be normal like they were after this is over, that is not reality. It's going to be different. We just don't know. Will it be bad? Will it be better? Will it be different? Who knows? We don't know. But economically, it's going to affect some things. And Levine Racing just saying that they can't make it. They're going to sell the team. Okay. Eric Jones going to lose the ride at Gibbs. And Christopher Bell, who is a Toyota darling, upstart, whatever, been a Toyota driver since the very, very beginning. What does that mean? A highly talented Eric Jones is going to get an opportunity to get a ride somewhere else. And he will. And he will.
Maybe the 48 car.
And he will. You know, that's what we're looking at. And that's pretty much what I got. I'm going to talk my drag racing tomorrow with Alan Reinhart. We have all got heavy hearts, but positive things happen. How about the first ever WFO Radio NHRA pre-race show? Sitting here Saturday night.
How about it?
Thinking about a very successful day I had, and I was like, I'm a momentum player. And I wanted to keep the big mo going, right? You know, I'm.
So was that after you were before or after you had been stood up?
At the same time, it was. Well, I was hanging around. I normally go down to Giovanni in Miami's house on the weekends. This weekend, I stayed close to the mothership so that I could sell some stuff. These people. That was what I was going to do on Saturday. I was going to just interact with these people and sell my stuff. And so I decided to clean out my shed, and I did a whole bunch of great work around the house that needed to get done. And then Saturday night.
You have a she shed?
A she shed. No, I got a he shed. I got a work shed.
He said what?
He said she shed down by the back door. So I decide on Saturday night, I'm going to do a pre-race show tomorrow morning. Race time is at 10 a.m. I'm going to come on the air at 9:30. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. We're going to see what's happening. And it went pretty well. Texted Caps, hey, can you do this? And if you can, it's no big deal because I'm just coming up with this idea out of nowhere. But if you would like to, I think it would be cool. Boom, Caps is on. I had Caps and I had Hartford, gave them 20 minutes notice. Folks, you got to buy their gear or something. Go get some Hartford gear, get some Caps gear. These guys helped
up. Caps really gets it, man. His whole social media presence.
He does.
Everything. He very much gets it.
And,
it's good when you have drivers like that or just personalities like that.
And Caps doesn't listen to Ignition. He listens to NHRA Nitro. He doesn't listen to this show. But I'm going to say something about Caps.
That's because he hates me, but that's okay.
Does he?
No. Why would he hate you?
Why would he hate you?
He doesn't know me from,
right.
From
but
anything. I guess maybe he would recognize the face from a few.
Caps is an underrated, underappreciated NHRA star. And I know it's hard to say that. Because he's one of our biggest stars. But he is underrated and underappreciated for his abilities and his accomplishments. 65 wins, man. 65. Ron Capps are still like, you know, you got John Force, and John Force is John Force, and he's a wild man. But Ron Capps has been a steady, solid presence in the sport a long time. He's not going to do like something corny. That's not Caps' personality, but he is always in the mix and he's ready to help and he's positive and he has been just so good to WFO. So good to WFO. Just coming on, giving us a tour. Why does he do that? And man, that guy, like I owe the guy thanks. Like, why does he have to do that? And Hartford, same deal. Hartford, yes, I'm there. It was great. We had a great pre-race show. The problem was, though, I was running out of time. Like, we're backed up against the hard start of lighting cars. And so I think it went pretty good. I don't want to ever have to do one ever again because I would love to be at the races. We know that the next race is the Denso Spark Plugs U.S. Nationals because Atlanta has been canceled. And that's going to be in Indianapolis. Am I going to be there? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know. But maybe. So we'll see. I'd rather be there. If not, then I'll do a pre-race show. And if I'm going to be there, then I'm not doing a pre-race show because I'll be doing the pre-race, hopefully, for the big go, assuming all that works out.
You'll be doing the pre-race walk or something.
You know, I'm a super team player here, man. I'm a super team player. But.
What's the matter?
I'm on the bench,
you don't
man.
Walk
I'm on
shoulder
the bench.
To shoulder with people for a quarter mile?
No, I don't know. I want to. I'm on the bench. It's upsetting me that I'm on the bench. I'm the guy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay,
I'm the player. Well, that's also true. Those two things can exist at the same time. Those two things exist at the same time. I don't want people coughing on me. Hi, Joe. Don't worry. I don't have it. Right? My head will explode if that happens. I saw a story. And I'm letting you get, you should be preparing Sports Collision right now. Gio is sweating. If you've ever seen airplane, when Stryker is trying to land the plane at the end and the water is just rolling down his face, Giovanni is just about like that. His air conditioning is not working. Fortunately, it's nighttime in Florida, so it's only 90.
Yeah, except, yeah.
So exactly. Start preparing Sports Collision. I want drag racing the way I remember it, where I go out there and there's all these wonderful people and there's fans and they're having fun and I can share all my enthusiasm with them and show them different things and give them free stuff when I have it. Like, that's what I want. I do not want someone to come up and cough in my face and me to then go back to the hotel room extremely paranoid and have to 14-day quarantine from every one of my friends. So there is some pros and cons to this whole deal, I admit. But, man, I really think I could be helping the team. That's all. That's enthusiasm, man. I could be helping this team right now. Be better. Do better. Have a better broadcast. Gather information. Something. Then again, I'm a high-level talent and cost money. So I get it. Anyway, real quick, horrible story I saw today, and I just want to unload negative stuff onto you all. A little kid is sitting in a restaurant, and this man who's 47 years old, and I saw this on one of the apps, news apps, sees the kid, and the kid's in the restaurant, and the kid is wearing a mask. And the kid is like, you know, I don't know. I think the kid is like 8, but I'm just going off memory here. You can search for the story. This man goes up to the kid and says, "Hi, little boy. My name is Blah. Can I shake your hand?" And the kid didn't want to do it because of the COVID. And the guy goes, "Why don't you take off your mask, kid?" And the kid said no. And so the guy spit in the kid's face. And told the kid, "Now you've got the COVID." That's the kind of person that's out there in the world. That kind of thing that I just described, you would think it's impossible. Look that story up, people, and tell me that our world isn't spinning out of control. Now, obviously, they grabbed the guy and he's in trouble. But if somebody does that to my kid,
deserves an ass whooping. It's that guy, man.
Really? That's all? Just an ass whooping?
Well, I mean, you know, I meant like, you know, like the police brutality type.
Just an ass.
I mean, I don't know if we're supposed to say that or
no,
if
you're that's not. No, you're not. But I don't think there's any parent out there. Like, that's a temporary insanity defense right there.
Dude, I got to tell you, man.
That's temporary insanity. A person spit in my kid's face and told him he had the COVID. Like, do I need to bring up the story? Do you trust me enough that this is a story? Because I don't want to do it, but I'll look it up.
I mean, did you get it from, like, a reputable source?
It's one of those apps, Google
Tim's blog in Mayfair, right? You know?
And now I'll look for it. It's now time for Sports Collision with Giovanni in Miami, and I will do some keyword search to see if I can find the story.
Well, all right. Sports Collision. Those of you that are, you know, mostly stuck at home, like, the majority of us that just get out for work.
Here it is, 4 days ago.
The most important stuff. Oh, now you're going to interrupt my sports news.
Well, I didn't expect it to take this so rapidly.
From the
New York Daily News, and it's everywhere. If you all just right, use the keyword, guy spits in kid's face, COVID. And guess where the guy is? Guess what state he's from?
Florida.
A Florida man allegedly grabbed a boy who refused to remove his mask at a restaurant. Got into...
Wait, what city? Let me guess. Northern Florida?
Stand on that. I'll get to it in a second.
Okay, no problem. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
The boy who refused to... So I don't know the kid's age, but they refer to him as a boy. Not a kid, not a teen, a boy. Who refused to remove his mask at a restaurant, got into his face, spittle and all, and hissed at him, "You now have coronavirus." Jason Copenhaver, 47, of Reddington Shores, was arrested and charged with simple battery and disorderly conduct. The arrest warrant said he was barefoot and appeared intoxicated at Ricky T's Bar and Grill in Treasure Island, wherever that is. I don't know where Treasure Island, Florida is.
I'm going to guess it's near the Tampa coast.
Look it up. He also tried to shake the boy's hand, reported WTVT, when the child, whose age was not given, said no. Copenhaver allegedly grabbed his arm tightly, put their faces close, police said.
St. Petersburg, Pinellas County.
Victim stated that, right.
Couldn't have guessed it any, of course.
Victim stated that Copenhaver was in such close proximity that spit particles from Copenhaven's mouth landed in his face. Okay, so that does...
All right, that's a horrible story. Dude, I don't want to hear that. Like, that's, you know, like, why do you have to even bring that up?
I told you I wanted to offload the negative energy onto other
people.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Like, sorry. That. So, you know, I don't want to hear that crap, dude. You know? I got to tell you, that guy's lucky that he, you know, again, these people, sometimes they're lucky on maybe they know it, they sense it, they feel it, but they do things to people that either they could get away with it or unknowingly they just haven't run into the wrong MF-er, man.
Well, that's why the insanity defense that I come in, like,
and forget,
like, you can do anything you want. And then when you tell the story, yeah, this is what the person did. Like, you're a mama bear protecting your child. That's why I'm sharing
it. If the cops probably won't even charge you with anything there. That's a self-defense thing right there.
And that's why I'm offloading that onto you, because it's just
but yeah, no, that's
stunning.
Ridiculous. I don't want to hear stuff like this, dude. That's not why I listen to this show, man.
You are a snowflake.
Yeah, maybe.
That's
perhaps.
What you are. You're a snowflake.
No, man, I am not a snowflake.
You're protecting yourself from
the
horrors of the world.
All right, that's in a schwitz right now.
No.
With speeds.
You
of
are
sweat
literally a snowflake. You are literally a snowflake melting right now.
I am literally. Like, you know, in the doorsteps of the gates of hell.
And you're melting.
That's what I am.
Like the snowflake you are. Just want to let you know the kind of people are out there in the world, folks. So when you got a nice person around you, you better appreciate them. You better appreciate. We need to figure out this world real quick, folks, because there's some crazy dudes out there. Like, that story just twisted me up. Today's been a tough day. All right, Geo Sports Collision.
Anyway, as you all can see, if you've been spending some time at home with the television on, sports are back in our lives, and it has felt very, very normal, in at least in the sense that there's baseball games on throughout the day, there's basketball games on, there was a golf tournament going on this weekend, we've had racing, I mean, I had NASCAR on all weekend long. We didn't discuss it much, but I really like these Saturday, Sunday doubleheaders. I know once we go back to fans in the stands and stuff, it's not financially viable for Michigan to have both of their races in the same weekend and other races, but perhaps they could, you know, I don't know. They've shown that they were willing to think outside the box with all the stuff they've done this year. And I think a lot of the stuff has really been pretty good. It's made for a good show. Part of it being with these shorter races and stuff like that. But anyway, digress. Back to sports being on TV, very happy. You may not know, but your Florida Marlins are the best team in baseball.
I know that they got a hot start.
Oh, no. Yeah, they lost yesterday, too. So now they're off, you know, but they're still in first place. But yeah, they were 7-1 with the best team in baseball at one point. But now they lost two in a row and they're 7-3. But they are playing well and baseball is going on. The only... So far, no other team has had any incidents aside from the St. Louis in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, what about that? St. Louis, huh? Bad behavior going to the casino, man. Like the kid says, you're not time going out to potties at the casino. And it looks like the Cardinals have taken away the bad team mantra away from the Marlins. Marlins are no longer the bad guys.
Yeah, well, the Marlins, like we said, they were able to, you know, to get it separated, and they've been able to field the team, and they played very well for the last 10 days that they've been back. And but yeah, the other teams so far are doing well. You know, the Yankees split a series with Tampa Bay this weekend, but they're still in first place. In the NBA, this is the last week of the regular season games. The playoffs will start next Monday, I believe, and the seedings aren't completely set yet, as they have a couple of more of these playing games for like those middle seeds, like the 4, 5, and 6,
yeah,
around there, and maybe the 8th in one of the leagues or two. And I know NHL's going on, which I don't really pay much attention to, but I also could report that they've had zero positive tests inside their bubble area, just like the NBA. And we do know that the local hockey team is no longer in the playoffs or whatever that was going on tournament. And that's it for those regular sports. But like I said, the NBA playoffs will be starting next week. And there has been some rumors earlier going out today. I mean, some of these college football conferences, the smaller conferences, have made plans, canceled football season or delayed it. But there is a rumor that the Big Ten, in fact, I believe I heard that they're having some kind of school president's meeting today, probably going on as we speak. And they are going to be deciding the fate of football season in the Big Ten real in the next few days. So we'll see. I'm not sure if college football is going to end up being able to play, being that circumstantially they're the ones that
I don't see it happening.
Are the least likely to play.
Right? I don't see it happening because their prime directive is not the entertainment of people. The prime directive is education of children, young people.
Exactly.
And that, and they can't. They can't.
And
risk
while
it.
You're, unlike the NFL, that are millionaires getting paid, and right. And the owners of NFL teams are all billionaires, and they can afford to just, you know, spend the money to provide safety or the illusion of safety. And the, you know, college football being what, over 100 different Division I schools, with there's no one NFL, you know, like commissioner or president or overriding a person in charge. And so there's a bunch of different conferences with a bunch of different presidents, and there's a bunch of different rules and a bunch of different everything. So it's going to be very difficult for them to really pull it off, especially with the number one thing being what you're saying, that a lot of these schools aren't even going to open with kids on campus. How are we going to, you know, be playing football if school's not even open?
Right.
But we'll see. Hopefully, you know, things continue to get better. At least down here, the numbers have stabilized and actually decreased a lot, but they're still like, you know, like pretty a lot of people.
Well, it went from like 10,000-11,000 to like 6,000-7,000 a day.
Correct.
And
correct.
In Miami-Dade and Broward, it's like 1,200 and 500.
Well, I'm right. And the positive percentage went from being in the high teens to low 20s, and now it's in the low teens. So you know, hopefully people will continue the proper measures, and you know, we can hopefully be able to co-live with this thing until they figure something out.
Well,
and actually all go out and, you know, do the right thing instead of just being stuck inside.
Well, and exactly. And, you know, I think we haven't spent any time grandstanding about the what to do and what people should be doing. But I think now, based on our common learned experience, forget about, like, you know, what we thought was true. But now we've all lived it together long enough to have at least some common understood facts about the face coverings. You know, we're selling these WFO radio face coverings for $10, all of this stuff. We now have enough information, like all of us, like, you know, depending on who or where you are, like Bo and Randy Lynn were on the other day. And, you know, they've got, Trump 2020 face coverings and the car was like, whatever you think, right? Everyone is pretty much on board now with you need to be wearing a face covering. That's a big part of it. When you talk, when you sing, when your spittle is coming out of your mouth all the time, apparently. Who knew? It's the truth. Wow. And by wearing this, you're going to reduce that a lot. And you'll be able to do all these other things that, you know, the numbers will be diminished a significant amount. Will it go away completely? No, of course not. Will we be able to do a lot more than if we didn't wear them? Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. And hopefully everybody is on board with it now. If only we could have done that from the jump. But, oh well.
Well, we're here now. Where we go from here is what's really the important part.
Yes, exactly. And we've got so many of these face coverings.
And we generally don't say anything because the vast majority of our audience is, you know, smart.
Not like Fredo. I like to think that, too. Like, I think that the WFO audience, you know, they're a reasonable bunch. They're reasonable. And they're like, yeah, you know, that kind of makes sense. No, they're telling you this so that you will submit to the vaccine, which will sterilize you. It's like, oh, my God. You should see the stuff I get in my Facebook Messenger, man. I'll just leave it at that. Crazy.
Yeah, it makes me happy. I'm not in any of that.
Oh, God, so if I could go back. Facebook is terrible. But whatever. All right. Final thoughts? I'm ready to roll on out of here.
No, next week, Daytona Road Course, NASCAR, F1 in Spain.
Okay, Daytona Road Course. We got to talk about
that. Fantasy team.
Daytona Road Course. Got to talk about that. In this crazy year, we've got the opportunity to see all kinds of interesting stuff. NASCAR, there's a couple of sports that have benefited from the COVID and the coronavirus. Not generally, but it has given them a reason to try everything that they wanted to try. And in NASCAR's case, just about everything that they have tried, I think, has been a benefit. They have done all kinds of great stuff. One of the things that they're doing, and it's not necessarily because of coronavirus, but just doing it. I don't recall exactly the reason we're doing it, but this is a big one here. NASCAR Cup on the road course at Daytona. I think what probably...
It's because some race, they weren't able to race somewhere, I think, and they were going to cancel it.
Okay, so it is coronavirus.
So it's like a makeup. Yeah, it's like a makeup race.
Road courses are the new Bristol. This is my phrase. I coined it. When you listen to WFO, you're not just listening to guys doing a podcast. We actually come up with stuff that sticks. And this is one of them. Road courses are the new Bristol. Everything that everybody loved about Bristol way back in the day is now coming out of the road courses. And that's why the second Charlotte race was canned in favor of the Roval, the road course inside the stadium, because they know it and everybody knows it. The door to door, banging and bumping, beating and banging, tempers flaring. You're going to see some of it at Daytona. It's going to be interesting and it's going to be fun. They run their Rolex there. Everybody always thinks, like, wow, what would it be like to see Cup Series cars out there? And we get to see them. And we don't have to give up a plate race, but it's not that anymore, a high-banked race at Daytona. We don't have to give up one of those. And so I am very excited to see Daytona and see what happens. And I think it's going to be wild, them coming up on the banking and then going back down into the center. Like, that's going to be neat.
And you know what else is possible? Where are they racing and what time of the year is it? And what happens every day here?
Well,
this time of the
rain.
Year.
That's right. Rain. And we had rain at Elkhart, Wisconsin. We had rain at Road America the other day. And seeing NASCAR in the rain, boy, can you imagine Cup in the rain and Daytona? I don't know if they would do it, though.
Without any practice.
I don't think they would do it because of the banking.
Yes, I think they put on the rain tires and they got to go out there and do it, man. What do you mean? Why not? These are the best drivers in the world.
I don't know, man. Put them on the banking in the rain.
I guess it's got that slight banking.
They got a part of the banking, part of the
track. Dude, they run the Rolex in the rain.
Those are sports cars.
Whatever, dude. Give them a proper tire and send them out
there. I like it. Just send it. I like it.
Do it.
Speaking of proper tires, I got new tires on my Caddy and I'm loving it. Oh, man, it feels so great. I'm so happy. Thank you. Good. No, man, those are the tires for the car. It's not designed to have wider tires.
Dude, you have a sports car.
It's a Cadillac.
It's a sports car.
They'll rub. You know,
but rubbing's racing.
The factory designed the car to have these size tires. I'm going with these. And I love them. It's great. And it handles great. Anyway, that's all I got. So let me reiterate the most important thing that was said on the show.
All WFO you folks, face coverings. Get them. Call Joe. Hurry up now.
Joe at WFOradio.com. And yes, you can send in for free WFO radio stickers. But that's not what I was going to say. I was going to talk about my friend Dom. And Richie Crampton.
Oh, sorry.
And Jake Sanders. Disrespect. No, Gio, that's all right.
I'm just a jerk.
Tell us something we don't already know. I'm kidding. You're not thinking about that stuff. You know?
No, it's not.
You're thinking. It's not your friend, man. It's not your friend. It's just somebody you heard of. This is my friend, man. It's very bad. It's a very bad thing. It's very sad. And, you know, positive energy. That's all you can do. Hopefully everybody does it. And hopefully we have some good news in the coming days, weeks, hours. Who knows what the story is. But there is always something to be learned from every incident that happens. And those boys went from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low in not very long. They had both just tasted victory in Indianapolis. And then on the way back to their shop, their house, their home, feeling probably pretty great, pretty comfortable, they ended up in an accident. And you got to you got to save her life, and you got to appreciate it, and you got to always keep your head on a swivel and think about what you're doing. And, you know, there's many lessons to be learned. I don't want to go too far into it, but many lessons to be learned. And just, you know, Godspeed to those guys, man. I'm thinking about them. And we've got to stay safe out there. It's very tough. You know, just the idea of going to a hospital right now, period, even okay, is not something that I want to be doing. So let's direct your positive energy to that, people, please. And I would really appreciate it. And Giovanni, good luck with your air conditioner, bud.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Tomorrow it'll be fixed.
Hopefully. I hear there's a big...
No, it'll be fixed tomorrow.
No, but there's a big parts shortage. You didn't hear about that? AC,
dude,
AC
if he has
parts
to put
shortage.
A Band-Aid on it and make it run.
Yeah, AC parts shortage. It's they're all backed up on the ships. It's because of the COVID. They don't have any of the part that you need. Apparently, it's back ordered.
Oh yeah. No, I don't have a Chinese air conditioner.
It'll only be a month or so.
It's American brand.
Oh really? I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like American Standard or one of those.
That's what I got. American Standard. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're all probably made like by four or five different companies and put like any they badge them with like you know every name in the book.
I told you what the guy told me about the Whirlpool washing machine, that all washing machine motors are the same, made by like one company, and
right.
that washing
that
machines
sense.
Are the same, and they only upsell you on the controls. And all you morons that are buying those crazy computer controlled washing machines are getting the same thing I got, and it's got a knob. And he says, and the knob doesn't break. And when it breaks, it's cheaper to fix.
I hear you, man. I don't like the fancy computerized stuff either. That refrigerator, I went to a buddy's house. The refrigerator like talks to you and tells you when stuff is running out. I'm like, I know when stuff is running out. I don't need the fridge to make a note for me. Get out of here.
We're
what's wrong
it,
with
man.
People?
And that's going to do it on this episode of Ignition.
Enjoy the races, everyone.
There goes Giovanni. Gio, go put your head in the freezer. Thank you for your service. There goes Giovanni in Miami. All right, I'm Joe Costello, everybody, at WFO Joe. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. We could not do it without them. And the Patreons. We could not do it without them. Like you Patreon people who buy the show. What are you doing? Thank you so much for doing it. Total Seal, Samtech. Marvin Rodak, Frank Hawley, EV3, appreciate you all. See you next time, WFO.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top-notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport, EFI tuning, and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan, and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, The Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. We're talking gourmet coffee. We're talking hot sauces. We're talking spice rubs. We're talking everything good at Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s. Figured out that life is better with great coffee. And oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit them up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO Radio is brought to you in part by Extreme Velocity 3 Drag Racing. Download for your mobile device. Win your way on the show. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we gonna do?
What else? Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.